Okay, so we've had a number of people say how much they liked our last episode, which was on Latin terms and what have you. But what we didn't explain is we went into how to say certain words, like watch Matthew stuff this up. Weeny, weedy, weechy.
No, that's the hard C, remember? Weeny, wiki. Weedy, weeky.
Weeny, weedy, weeky. And how different Julius Caesar's name would have been. So it would have been
Julius.
Julius. Kaiser.
Kaiser, yeah.
So completely not Julius Caesar. We know how to pronounce these Roman words, but how do we know how to pronounce these Roman words? It's not the Latin that the Catholic Church is familiar with, or it's not the Latin that we get in cinema of any kind or in television shows that deal with ancient Rome. So how do we know that that's the pronunciation?
Well, we know some things from grammarians, and grammarians are writers who were usually writing in around the 4th, 5th centuries in Latin, about Latin. So these are books that not many people have looked at. They're quite obscure by people like, there's one called Priscian, whose name really should be pronounced Priscian, according to the rules we've just laid out, because he has a C in his name. And there's another one called Victorinus, or Victorinus. And they write about people making mistakes or the way classical Latin should be, which is an indication that the language was changing. Language changes all the time. And they're trying to fix what classical Latin was. In other words, the Latin of Cicero and Virgil and Caesar. And this is good for us in that it gives us an indication. But of course, they're writing 4 or 5 centuries distance. And so we can't take it as absolute truth, but it's the best we've got. Mm. We do have some earlier sources that talk about it. For example, someone people might have heard of, Quintilian, who wrote a handbook on rhetoric. He was writing around 100 CE. He's concerned with the way that you should project yourself, the way you should be a great orator. But occasionally he deals with things like spelling errors, which he's quite strong on. He says that if you spell things wrongly, then that will lead to pronunciation errors. And that's one of the things that tells us that Latin generally is pronounced how it's written. Now, that doesn't tell you everything about Latin, but one thing it does tell you is there's no silent syllables. In other words, Latin is very, very consistent for Quintilian. If you spell it correctly, as long as you know what the rules are, you'll pronounce it correctly, and there aren't exceptions.
So he's writing during a time when Latin is changing the way it's pronounced. I suppose new words are coming in and being invented as there's need for it.
Well, Latin is changing all the time, and that's one of our problems with laying down rules as well.
But people complain nowadays about young people using like too often. 20 years from now, OMG and LOL are going to be part of our normal everyday vocab.
No, they're not.
I hope. I live in hope. But is it that kind of thing? He's writing about contemporary language and how it's changing and how it should be pronounced. He's a purist.
Yes, when he engages with it at all. Quintilian's writing about rhetoric, so he writes about things like how you should stand, how you should project your voice, which texts you should have read. You know, there is no handbook that just says, this is the way we pronounce Latin now. We have to look at lots of texts and glean from them. Mm. And the best texts that give us the most information are actually later than Quintilian. They're those grammarians. They're very good for this, but they're also much later. Do you want me to go on and give some examples?
Yeah,
now?
Sure. Give me some mechanics.
Okay, so one of the questions that came up when we were talking about Latin pronunciation, and I think this might have come up on Facebook too, is how we know that C and G are pronounced as hard. Mm. So that we don't say Caesar, we say Kaiser, and we don't say Weechi, we say Weeki.
And we say Kikaro.
Yeah, Kikaro, hard Cs. Mm. One of the good sources for this is Priscian, the guy who was writing around 500, the grammarian I mentioned, and he actually states, and this is the best source for this, that the letter K and the letter C are just one sound.
Right.
He says they should be taken as one letter. In fact, the letter K doesn't really occur in Latin. It occurs in words that they take from Greek. So that's a really good indication. But we actually get some quite, I think in my nerdiness, some quite amusing extensions on this. So there's a slightly earlier grammarian called Victorinus, who is really good for lots of this information. One thing he says is that C and G are close in sound. And if you try and pronounce them in your mouth, the hard C and the hard G, that is true. They are basically the same sound. K-g. And he says, and I translated this from, he writes in Latin, he says, they are heard or sounded with great exertion of the mouth, which means you don't do the s or the zh, you do k. And he goes into more detail about this. I haven't just invented that that's what that means. He says, for C, the tongue is further back and pressing against the molars, sticking inside and blocking the sound of the voice.
I'm now doing tongue gymnastics.
Can you see the difference between k, k? Your tongue does actually stick against your molars at the back to make a k.
K.
Whereas it slides forward.
Okay, all right.
Or ch. Ch is slightly further back, actually, but k is the furthest back.
It's interesting that he's that detailed about it. He's that worried and concerned that people are going to be pronouncing this incorrectly.
Well, remember, he's writing around 500, and the language is almost certainly changing by this period.
Very much so.
And, of course, what it changes into eventually is French and Italian, neither of which pronounce the k as hard, certainly before I's and E's in particular. They go for s or ch sounds.
Yeah.
So that doesn't happen in Latin. He's very, very sure of that.
So he's a grammar Nazi.
Yeah, pronunciation, yeah. Nazi. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
This is one of the main ways that we do get to know that pronunciation is changing. And in fact, one of the texts that people often cite for very early indications of change is, and this is by a man we have mentioned way back in our podcasts, called Petronius, who was one of the advisors to Nero. He was Nero's minister of the arts. And he wrote a text, a novel, called The Satyricon. And he has a dinner scene in it where there are some very crude people. They're upstarts, they're freedmen. And they make all kinds of mistakes. And part of the joke are the mistakes that they're making.
Right.
So they get the gender of nouns wrong. And they make the wrong sounds. And that's often taken as an indication of what the ordinary speech was turning into.
All right, so that's the C. The other letter is the V. So how do we know that we should be pronouncing the V as a W?
Well, this is still contested, in fact.
Oh.
Yes, this is one that hasn't really been settled. But if we're going to talk about fashions, the current fashion is definitely for pronouncing a V as a W. But when I was at university, I had a lecturer who's now a very esteemed professor and scholar of Cicero who always pronounced it as V. And he wasn't wrong, because it is a very muddy topic in these ancient grammarians. They don't explain it as well as they explain the K and the G. So Priscian says that it's the same as the Greek letter digamma. Now, anyone who knows any ancient Greek will be thinking there is no letter digamma. And there isn't in the Greek that we have. But in very archaic Greek, there was a letter that seems to have fallen away, which was a digamma, which looks like an F, but was probably pronounced like a V or a W. So that's all he tells us. And as we don't know exactly how the digamma was pronounced, it's hard to know. We have one source that tells us that digamma was pronounced as P with aspiration. That doesn't mean it had great ideas about its place in life.
Well, clearly didn't get anywhere.
The aspiration is a kind of sound that you say after it. So you say P. So if you do pronounce P with aspiration, you actually get something pretty close to a V or a F. So that's why some people think, oh, it is a V sound. It is as it is now. But it's more complicated than that. The main reason that people think that it was pronounced as a W is that it's the only way that you can get some poetry to work. Mm. For Latin meter, sometimes it matters how many consonants you have after a vowel. It changes the length of a syllable. And in some poets, say like Horace, who was an Augustan poet, it's pretty clear that sometimes it needs to be an a or a w sound in order for the length of the vowel to work. So unless the poets have got it wrong, and poets like Horace didn't, then we know that that consonant wasn't always pronounced as a v sound. So as I say, it's still contested. And I looked at a book the other day, which was quite an old book. It was from the late 19th century, but it said absolutely that you pronounce that as V. And these people who think that it's W are just wrong.
Right.
But just about every new textbook that you find on Latin will say pronounce it as W. So there has been a shift towards trusting the poets and not trusting the grammarians there. But as I say, there are arguments on both sides.